From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. This is Idaho Matters. Jane Doe, the woman who was raped by former Republican State Representative Aaron Von Ellinger, has told her story to the radio program This American Life. In the May episode, Doe talked about her life and about what happened to her when she was an intern at the Idaho legislature. Von Ellinger was convicted of rape last year, and he was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson has covered the Von Ellinger case since the very beginning, and he's joining us now. Good to have you with us, Jimmy.
Hey, Gemma. Good to be back.
And just a note to our listeners that we will be talking about some really sensitive subjects, including rape, for the next few minutes. So, Jimmy, give us a little bit of history. You started following this story back in 2021.
Right. So we first learned about the rape in April of 2021. It actually occurred about a month beforehand when Jane Doe and Aaron Von Ellinger went to dinner at Barbacoa after a day at the legislature. They returned back to his apartment in downtown Boise, where he eventually raped her. And she reported the crime to a House legislative staffer, where it then kind of ran up the chain of command to House leadership and then Attorney General Lawrence Wasten as well.
So, Jimmy, what came first, the legislative investigation or the rape charge?
Well, this is where it kind of gets sticky. So the legislative investigation, I believe, came first, but there was kind of a simultaneous criminal investigation at the very beginning. That criminal probe by Boise police was then halted at the request of Jane Doe. But then she later decided to pursue it, which resulted in the rape charge a few months later in September 2021, after he had resigned his seat, after this scathing ethics hearing that lasted, a few days. And, lawmakers had recommended him essentially being expelled for the rest of his term. He was a freshman legislator from Lewiston and had been on the job really just a few months at that point.
Now, Jimmy, if I remember correctly, Von Ellinger did say that he had sex with Doe, but he said it was consensual.
Correct. Yeah, that's what he claimed. A jury obviously didn't agree with him. Jane Doe said that she told him she didn't want to go any further than making out in his apartment after dinner, made up excuses to make her sound more unappealing to him, and even bumped her head really hard, hard enough to leave a big lump once he took her to his bedroom and she tried to get away from him.
Mm. So as we mentioned in the beginning of this conversation, he was convicted of rape last year. He's in prison now. Jane Doe told her story to This American Life just last month. So did we learn anything new from her interview?
Yeah, there were a few things that mostly happened outside the courtroom or kind of gave us an indication as to what she was thinking during all of this that, you know, we as reporters who were sort of from the outside looking in didn't necessarily have much insight to. She occasionally would give interviews to a couple people, but really shied away from media exposure, I would say, especially in those early days. But we'll get into those more later. What I think this episode and its producer, Miki Meek, pointed out very well is that in the wake of Me Too, state legislatures either don't have policies to handle these situations or they're very untested and kind of need refining. So the main example was that this House Ethics Committee subpoenaed Jane Doe to testify at the hearing instead of just using her transcript from a behind closed doors interview with her that they had done prior to those hearings. And that's something that the committee chair Sage Dixon, Representative Sage Dixon, said that he might have done differently since he didn't want to or mean to cause additional harm by having her relive her rape, even though she was behind a black curtain and the audience couldn't see her.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, this new interview also seemed to give us a fuller picture of who Jane Doe is. So what do we know about her now?
Yeah, it revealed a lot about her to the wider public that they didn't know. I would say that, several of us at the Capitol newsroom did know who she was because she was a high school page the year before. She had a couple articles written about her and her story. She's a young mother who's very driven, loves politics, really wanted to get into that. This rape certainly made her rethink that. I think she, you know, she reconsidered that as to whether that's something she really wanted to go through by mm-hmm. being in the building or having that come up on a campaign trail. But, you know, I think toward the end, she is finally coming out on the other end of that and is returning to her love of politics.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, you mentioned, you know, when she was being questioned during the legislature's ethics hearing and she was behind that black curtain, she did talk about her experience during that hearing, but in particular, what happened after. So take us back to that day in particular.
Yeah. So this is also something that we learned from her point of view during the This American Life episode, where apparently the ethics committee didn't have any sort of entry or exit plan necessarily in place for her to get to that hearing room and then, you know, leave without being hassled. And mm-hmm. so, you know, she was, you know, obviously not feeling great mm-hmm. about going there. She did want to, you know, at least tell her story. Her lawyers told that to us at the time, but she was, you know, feeling nauseous. She eventually got behind that black curtain and thought that other people could see her, because her side was she could see the audience, she could see the lawmakers, etc. Though the audience could not see her. And then after she gave her testimony, she went through a back door in the back of the committee room. But somehow a group of Aaron Von Ellinger supporters, plus a reporter, a former reporter at a Boise TV station, were back there and followed her all throughout the Capitol. And we didn't learn this until later, as reporters, because we were in the ethics room. They had moved on to another witness at the time, I believe. Mm-hmm. But all we heard were these screams that were just incredibly primal, I would describe them as. I mean, it just, like, you know, tore through us. At least that's how I felt. I had no idea what was going on. It just immediately chilled me to the bone hearing those screams. And what she told This American Life was that, you know, she ran all through the Capitol. She apparently wanted to get up onto one of the higher floors and fling herself off of the rotunda to kill herself, which did not happen. Her lawyers and folks eventually caught up to her and mm-hmm. ushered her out.
Okay, so Jimmy, you talk about that moment, right, where, I mean, she was in such distress. We also learned in This American Life interview that she talked about what happened after she testified in her rape trial. She talked about wanting to hurt herself then as well. So how much of this did we know before her interview?
That I did not know, to be honest. You know, I was in the courtroom that day when she came in. You know, it was something that I could clearly see that something was off about her. She kept looking off in the distance, not necessarily answering questions from the lawyers. I think she was on the stand, you know, all of a couple minutes, maybe. It wasn't very long before she, you know, stood up, said that she couldn't do this, stormed off the stand back through where, you know, members of the public could sit and pushed her way through the door. Apparently, in the episode, she said that she ran down the stairs at the Ada County Courthouse, actually fell down some stairs, if I remember correctly. And then the Ada County Courthouse is, you know, just a couple blocks from, I believe it's Julia Davis Park, where the zoo is and close to the bridge linking Boise State University's campus over the river. And she said that she was running toward the river to fling herself off the bridge, but then, you know, hurt her ankle and was kind of crying under a tree until her lawyers found her there.
So, Jimmy, what's next for her?
Well, she certainly sounds a whole lot better. And you know, talking to Miki Meek, it sounds like, you know, during their conversations, she sounded better. You know, she had talked to her, I think, 3 or 4 times, I want to say, over the past couple years. So she is really wanting to get back into politics. You know, I think she told This American Life specifically, you know, she's mapping her path back to the Capitol. She doesn't want to have to feel shame walking into the Idaho Capitol anymore. She's a multi-generational Idahoan. She wants to first, you know, be part of, you know, a parent organization at her son's school, then maybe run for city council, and then eventually get to the state house as a lawmaker.
Wow. Well, it'll be interesting to see her path. Jimmy, thank you so much for giving us this update.
You're welcome, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.